celebrate America's independence with First Conservative Baptist Church, Sunday, July 3rd, with the Pickering Family Singers. It all starts at 10 a.m. with the Pickering Family Singers in concert. The concert is followed by a message from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Then it's an old-fashioned barbecue with pork, chicken, and all the fixings on the church grounds. Everything is free. First Conservative Baptist Church is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have as our special guest today, Al Ferrero. Al is a candidate for the mayor of the city of Jacksonville. Al is one whom I believe will be our next mayor, and I pray that you will be praying for him and that you will hold his hands up in his candidacy for seeking that office. Just before the news break, we had Tom on the line. Tom is still with us, and Tom had just asked a question for Al, and Al had just started answering that question. Al, would you continue your statement in response to Tom's question?
Sure. So, Tom, that was an excellent question, and the way it is phrased, I couldn't agree with you more. But with the police and fire pension, the money was taken away and not used in the proper or what it was supposed to be, its intended use. And one of the things I'm concerned with is a lot of people don't realize how we're not retaining police officers, how we're training police officers. They get their 401ks and they move to another place. During that time, we're spending millions of dollars on training that, in, I would say probably in the next 5 to 7 years, we're going to see a lot of police officers that we're going to be leaving. And what's going to end up happening is a revolving door of training. And it's not going to have where we're retaining officers here. That's going to be a huge problem. I also wanted to bring up something. There is an illusion that firefighters sit around and they don't do a lot of things when they're off. My brother's a firefighter. And a lot of times what happens is people don't realize is when they go into these calls and they're around all these noxious fumes and all these things, they end up developing all kinds of problems of skin cancer through their lungs, you name it. And to see these things happening and not have a full story of what our first responders are going through, a lot of times people just compare what they're getting paid to what they're getting paid. And it's not a fair assessment. It's numbers that are thrown out for what people are seeing or what they're trying to do. So I think what you're bringing up is very important, but I just want to show one of the things that's happening is that everything's not accurately being depicted and explained of how we got to that point. If the money would have been left and it wasn't taken out and owed, we wouldn't have gotten into this problem like we had. And that's really the biggest issue.
Tom, does that answer your question?
Yes, but is Al, are you still advocating more retirement because it's a dangerous job, or regardless of what, you want to give the firefighters and the policemen more retirement money?
It's not necessarily more. It's just that the way we have it, we don't have an ability to retain and keep officers and fire employees here. Right now, the way it's set up is we can do all the training, the spending of the money, and we haven't had it in place long enough to actually show that. But what happens is they keep moving on, but we're not retaining them. So there's a bit of training and money that's being put into them that is going to go off to another city that pays them more. And we're going to constantly mm-hmm. be spending it on the training. So if we don't retain them, it's going to cost us in the long run in experience, and it's also going to cost us in money just putting money out. And it hasn't been around long enough to see that. But as I go around and I see the retirements that are happening, there's going to be a lot of officers on both sides of fire and police that are going to be leaving. And we're going to be getting new people. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be staying. So there's a cost that you don't see, and it hasn't been in here long enough to actually get projections out to see it. But we're going to be losing mm-hmm. officers. So the cost is going to go up without retaining. I hope that answers your question.
I have to disagree with you, because in the real world, everybody has a policeman that lives in their neighborhood. We have one, and when he comes home, he rolls the garage door, it hits a button, it goes in, he puts his police car inside, and he goes inside, and he changes clothes. He never stops at a minute market. And Al, the truth is, he's just not a gun guy. He in a gunfight or something, he would not be a good guy. But he wears the blue uniform. And you have a broad base. Anybody that can pass the test can be that. But it really takes a dedicated person. And usually, regardless of what you pay them, it is a union. And I disagree with that. You don't need a union, because I'm sure you wouldn't have a union on your business. And
let me jump in for just a moment.
Like the cities.
Tom, if you would allow me to jump in for just a moment and simply put in a little footnote on that. There's about 5 members of our family that's either in JSO or have been and now retired. And one of the things that you find that is so difficult for the life police officer, because one of our sons just retired in the past couple of years from JSO, and if he didn't put his JSO squad car in the garage, it would be vandalized at night, or some act of vandalism as a result of it being a police officer, plus the fact the officer's name is on the side of the car, and perhaps they've been arrested or something's happened in their life with a ticket, and they want to retaliate. And so they do that for self-protection for their families when they go home. And secondly, I believe that it is vital and necessary for us to understand that when they put the uniform on, they need to run to the problem and not run from the problem, as we've seen across the nation in other situations. But those that are trained, highly trained officers, and that's what Jacksonville, I believe, is doing, highly trained officers, they deserve quality pay, they deserve quality benefits and retirement. And I can tell you now, having a son that's retired, the retirement is not something you'd write home and brag about. That needs to be increased, so I'm in agreement with that. But Al, Tom, we've got other callers, but thank you so much for your call.
No problem.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
God bless you. I believe we have Marshall on the line. Marshall, give the question or comment, please.
Yes, Doc. Thank you for taking the call. There's a caveat before I speak. And let me say this. I'm not a resident of Duval County. I worked in Duval County for quite a while, and I used to debate some issues in front of city council when I worked for a company that was in Duval. But I'm not now, and I'm going to offer some comments that may not sit well with everybody. So before I do, I would like to ask your permission to continue with the conversation, since I'll be commenting on Duval politics, though I'm not a voter in that county. May I proceed?
Go right ahead. We will entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on it. Yes, sir.
I appreciate that very much. Thank you, Doc. This is a critical issue. The people that we elect in our country reflect the culture, and our culture is in bad shape. I know Al personally. I think he is a good man. We have a severe problem in America. We have obviously a party, the Democrats. For anyone who is a believer, cannot vote Democrat. You cannot. You absolutely.
Right. I agree with that.
God, if you do that. So our problem then is our only choice is Republican. Back in 2015, I was one of the first to openly support our current mayor. We did so at a Craig Airport, a facility where I used to work. We gave him a pretty good introduction in his run for mayor. I regret that deeply now because I found Mayor Curry to be not only duplicitous, but a few other things that I'll withhold on the air. But I was not pleased and was ashamed of the fact that I had anything to do with assisting that man becoming mayor of Jacksonville. Now, probably about 8 years ago, Al sat in my conference room. We had a three-hour discussion, and I learned at that time that Al was, in fact, a good man and a brother in Christ. And so if people wanted to vote for a good man who's a brother in Christ, they certainly need to vote for Al Ferraro. But I suggest that Al does this because, in my opinion, Al, and I'm speaking my mind, and please give him the freedom to respond to me after the fact in however, whatever words he wants to say. I don't find Al to be intellectually strong, spiritually strong, or a man with a strong backbone based on those hours that I spent with Al. A good man, a well-intentioned man, an honorable man. But we do not need another weak individual in Jacksonville, which impacts where I live in Clay County and all of Northeast Florida, with issues he will not stand firm on. Now, there's one particular issue. He may not agree that that's a litmus test. But what Al said in response to my challenge to him, Al, the top 50 cities in this country have done this particular thing, and Jacksonville hasn't. It's a political issue. And some very wealthy people who live proximal to this issue that we were discussing are the ones that are blocking it, including Daniel Davis, who should never be mayor of this city. Of all the people that appear to be running, certainly the best choice is Al Ferraro. But Al, because of his failure to stand on an issue that provably, without any possible exception, was to the benefit of Jacksonville and not standing for it was to the detriment. I don't trust him, and because he couldn't process the empirical data given him that showed conclusively this is the right act that he didn't take or support, and then told me why he couldn't support it, which I won't repeat on air, but if necessary, would be happy to meet with you both personally and tell you what that was. The best thing that Al Ferraro could do was stand up and say, here is the best candidate for Jacksonville. Find somebody that has a big Y chromosome that is not been impacted by the feminizing of culture, which almost every male that I know has been impacted. That we're very subjective now. We're not objective. If he would find the best candidate who would defend the Christian faith, that would defend the traditional family, that would defend the traditional workplace and say, this is the man that we want, then that would be the greatest service he can do. Because if there were no other choices, vote for Al Ferraro. He is a good man. But we need someone with a spine who will take on the issues and stand for them. Because I know because of my background that the days ahead, not just the months and years, but the days ahead are full of challenges we've never seen before, and particularly in the city of Jacksonville. And if we don't have a leader that is fearless and is keenly intelligent, is full of the Spirit of God, and understands the processes at work, it's going to be a tough time. Now, I've said some very harsh things. I acknowledge that. I'm responsible for what I said because I can defend them. But I would like to ask Al, in whatever time is left, to tell me what is different about him from the man that I sat with for almost 3 hours in a conference room and talked about the issues involving Jacksonville. And see if
Al, I think it's time. Al, you're up.
Thank you.
Respond to that. Tell us if you think you qualify beyond what Marshall had just asked about and challenged you on. I think it's a valid question, a valid position, and I think you need to give us a valid answer, and I believe you can. If you would do that, and then we'll jump to some other questions.
Sure. So let's just go down the list of things. So I went ahead and I pushed for I didn't support the HRO that came through. That was things that people said, oh, no, you need to go for this. You need to push this through. I said, no, I'm not going to support that. I think
and I commend you for that wholeheartedly, yes.
I think that's one of the things Marshall's talking about. But let's talk about crime. You know, one of the things you got to do when you're in office is you got to be convincing to people to go along with what you believe. And you need to set that example. Sometimes it's not by having a strong backbone. It's by living a life and showing people that this is who you are. So I could come in here convincingly with a hammer and smash things, or I can come in here and say, this is how we need to build things up and to get people to trust you and to believe in you. Because part of what's happening with government that I'm seeing is you have people that are coming in here and pushing things in a direction without explanation. When you go in there and you live a life and you show people what you're doing, let me just take a couple examples, like crime. You know, what I would do as a mayor is go into some of these areas that are crime-ridden and be in there personally, boots on the ground, going into these areas where you were having the wild, wild west where it's being shot up, where you get people to believe in your elected officials again so that you can have the police and the elected officials get with the community to have a buy-in and have the confidence to rebuild the confidence in the mayor's office by showing, doing, and doing results and getting people in the streets and the neighborhood. That's the things that you have to do is you have to show people that you're that person. So sometimes when you do things, sometimes restraining yourself is more difficult than coming out there with the big hammer and fist and saying this is the way you're going to do it, because you want to get people to believe in you and go down that direction. The way I am is, you know, I have to think about what I say in a public eye to where I want to get people to agree with what I'm doing without lying or misrepresenting anything. That doesn't mean that you're spineless or you can't do something. There's things that I want to do, and there's things that as a business owner that I've always done to where I haven't had to get permission. When you're running for office, what you're trying to do is you're trying to get people who don't agree with you, first of all, to agree with you. And the way you do that is not push them in the back of the wall and say, this is my way or the highway, is to show them these are the ways that are going to make our community better. You're not going to get everybody to agree, but if you get people to understand where you're coming from and how you're trying to get the city in the direction of things to go, whether it's spending money or law enforcement or any of these things, you want them to agree with you, because if you have them agreeing, you're going to move the city in a direction where it's not having this constant fight back and forth. Sometimes that's looked at as being spineless. Sometimes it's just a way that I think will get people to do that. And you know, it's just two different thoughts, that's all.
I thank you for that response, Al. There's a question, too, in relationship to mayor's position, mayor's office. What would you say is the top three things that you want to accomplish as mayor that's not being done today or not being handled properly today?
So, first of all, I think the crime is totally out of control. Mm-hmm. I think people have lost faith in government. I think the loss of believing in life, and we see that with abortions, we see it with all these different things, to where life doesn't mean what it did to a lot of people 20 or 30 years ago. And that's one of the things that I would want to do. The same thing I've done in my district is go around getting the community involvement to get people to see and trust. That's the other part, too, is to get them to trust the people that are in office, to where how many times, whether you're Republican or Democrat, has somebody been elected who said they're going to do something, and then as soon as they get elected, they do just the opposite of what they say. So getting out there, boots on the ground with a mayor who's not just in an office downtown, that is in all different parts of the city, meeting with the problem areas that we have and addressing them and then fixing them. I think so crime would be one of the first things. The other thing is the core functions. What's happening with the core functions? We've got so many things that aren't getting taken care of. One of the first things I would do on the core functions is I would see about having inmate releases to where we have, I wouldn't call it the chain gangs, but have where we have inmates working on our roadsides, fixing up and cleaning up our roadsides. Right now we have public works saying we don't have enough employees to get things done. Well, how did we do it in the past? We used to go ahead and we used to have people who were in jail to come out and work. And that does two things. That ends up getting an inmate to where they're out working, to where you want them to be put into a position when they get out to where they can get a job, to where the only thing they change is their addresses. So I would have the work release start again. And also it puts people in a position where they see inmates working, to where they say, I don't want to go to jail because that's part of it. The trash, the recycling, the maintenance of the streets and ditches and waterways, these are things that I think are important that have been neglected. And just drive across any bridge or roadway and you'll see that they're not being maintained. That's the second thing that I would do. The other thing that's really important is we do an enormous amount of work, and I'm with the Land Use and Zoning Department, to where what ends up happening is we do all these things for new residents that are coming into neighborhoods, but we're neglecting people who've been here for decades and generations,
right,
to where they have their neighborhoods. And all it is everything for somebody coming in new, but for the people who've paid taxes, who've been here for years. So we need to get neighborhoods fixed back up. Because remember, every single neighborhood that built at one time was the place to be. That's where everybody was going to. So what we can do as a city is to bring that back and to see what we can help with that. Where, you know, when it was new, it was clean and it was safe. Well, we can't bring it back new, but we can bring it back clean and safe by having things happening to where, instead of having one company do the whole city, that we have different areas of town that have different local contractors that have self-pride in cleaning up parts of our city. We're paying for this stuff anyhow. My point being is there's a lot of stuff that we're paying for that we're not getting fixed, whether it's mental health or veterans affairs. There's a lot of things we're paying for that's not working. We need to look at new methods of being able to continue moving these things forward to getting them to work all over the city. And those are probably three of the main things that I would be working on.
Amen. I believe we have Kevin on the line. Kevin, go over the question or comment, please.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood, for your show. And I hope that you win the mayor position, Mr. Al. And I just had a suggestion that the Bible says that, you know, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach, a shame, a disgrace to any people. And the Bible is, the Word of God is true. And I think it would be great for, you know, the city of Jacksonville to exalt righteousness in its nation, a family-friendly city, to promote family-friendly avenues for children and for families to come together, like Chicago had the Taste of Chicago, where all the restaurants will gather together and have a little venue, a little table where they could sell their food to the people. And it was a huge success in Chicago, and I think it would be great if Jacksonville could do something like that. And family-friendly venues for the people of Jacksonville. Also, the thing with the crime, this is where I recommend you highly engage in the churches and the community, because this is going to be a spiritual warfare that has to be won by the Heavenly Father. And you have to confront the sin. Thou shalt not murder. With the commandments, confront the community with the commandments of God. And evangelize the communities and give them, you know, talk to the people and see, you know, what the problem is. But the church has to be engaged and out in the streets, boots to the ground, preaching the gospel, and, of course, 24/7 intercessory prayer. And the Bible also says in the multitude of counselors there is wisdom. So I highly encourage you to get multitude of counselors behind you to incorporate these changes that you want to do. And thank you very much for your time.
Kevin, thank you so much for your statements. Your target right on with what I believe is honorable for the Lord. One of the things that Kevin mentioned, Al, and I believe is on target, and I believe from the standpoint of getting the Christians and conservatives and patriots involved, is number one, prayer, and number two is to be involved in trying to hold your hands up to put you in office. Let me ask you a question on the heels of some of the things that Kevin touched on, but in a little different fashion. In Seattle, Washington, just recently with Pride Month, they had a bunch of nude homosexuals, the Bible calls them sodomites, circling in the city square, with families, with small children watching and applauding. And that's as a result of the absolute lax laws in Seattle, Washington, that protects the citizens. Would you be willing to take a stand in relationship to protecting the city of Jacksonville from any further intrusion or exacerbation of the problem with what is called gay pride? We have gone the route of allowing the city DeVault County Transportation Department and the State Transportation Department fund the Acosta Bridge lights in praising, celebrating, and recognizing the homosexual gay pride week or gay pride month. How would you stand on things that would protect the city's morals, ethics, and values against things of that nature?
So I do follow what my faith is. And, you know, I am opposed to abortions. The old saying, you know, love the person, hate the sin. I'm just not supportive of that lifestyle. Let me follow it up. If you've got gay people out there running around nude, of course that's unacceptable. But I would say if you had straight people running around nude, that's unacceptable too.
Yes, absolutely.
It's gotten to be where government is pushing in so many different directions that these are all distractions taking us away from the things that are making our city great and fixing up our city and takes away from the crime. And this is the whole purpose of what I'm talking about, where people will say, well, you're not strong or you're spineless on some things. You know, these are things that I don't agree with, and they're things that I wouldn't support. However, you have to look at what's proper for our families. What made our city and our country great to begin with? It's right. Not like we have to go and reinvent the wheel. We just need to do the things that we've done in the past as far as what worked. You know, to follow our biblical teachings of what we have. And one of the things when you get up and people say when you're doing debating, you need to be tougher or something. One of the things I like that has been instilled to me from my parents and my grandparents when I grew up is say things as your priest is present. You want to say things that you're effective. You're not backing down from things, but you want people to understand where you're coming from and where you're going. You don't have to be the loudest and say the most vulgar things. You need to show people this is who you are, this is your belief, and if you support me, this is the path I'm going to take. It doesn't mean I'm going to get vulgar and I'm going to get more crazy than the other person who's running against me. It just means this is who I am. This is who I am 24/7. It's not because the camera's on or Dr. Youngblood has a radio on. This is who I am 24/7. And I'm not going to change.
We've got just under 30 seconds. Would you give our listeners a contact information, phone number, email, et cetera, quickly for us?
Yes. It's alferreroformayor.com. alferreroformayor.com, or they can call us at 642-5246. alferreroformayor, and any donations would be helpful. The grassroots is a really important thing. It's what got me through the last two elections, and I believe it will get us through this, and I'm asking for everyone's help to join us in any way that they can.
Amen. Al, thank you so much for taking time to join us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.